This morning, I would invite you to take your Bible and open to the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. There are a lot of great psalms in the book of Psalms, and this is one of many that are one of my favorites. There's so many wonderful things in this particular psalm, and I'm just going to concentrate on two verses, but I did want you to see something that I have underlined in my Bible. Maybe it's underlined in your Bible. But in Psalm 37, verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So I underline, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." So I underline, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." So I underline, commit thy way unto the Lord. And then I skip down to verse 7, which says, "Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." So I underline, rest in the Lord. And the reason I underlined all those portions of those verses is because it reminds me of what I need to do in my life. I need to trust in the Lord, verse 3. I need to delight myself in the Lord, verse 4. I need to commit my way unto the Lord, verse 5. And once I've done the trusting, delighting, and committing, I need to rest in the Lord. Oh, that I could do that. Right? That's a good reminder, I think, for all of us. To trust in him, to delight in him, to commit our way unto him, and then to rest in him. Well, having said all that, there's many things like this in this psalm. And another one I want to show you today, and we're going to concentrate on this in the message today, is verse 23 and verse 24. Verse 23 and verse 24. And the Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." These are, again, two more great verses in this psalm that to me, through the years, have been a great encouragement, and I hope it will be a great encouragement to you today as I bring a message that I've entitled, "The Steps of a Good Man." The steps of a good man. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that I have to stand here behind the pulpit of Stoughton Baptist Church and deliver a message to the Stoughton Baptist Church family. I pray that you'll help us to listen carefully and allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, each one of us individually. Speak to us, Lord, and show us and teach us things that we need to learn and things that we need to do in our life. The Christian life is such a wonderful life, and it's really not all that complicated if we will trust in you, if we will delight ourselves in you, if we will commit our steps to you, our life to you, if we will learn to rest in you. The Christian life is really not all that difficult. Help us, Lord, and help me as I speak today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most wonderful things about being a Christian is the fact that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Now, tomorrow's coming, and neither you nor I have any idea what's going to happen. You know, I don't know this for certain, but I'm pretty sure of this. Things will happen tomorrow for some people in America that they did not expect. Some of those things will be good, some of those things will be not so good. But you know this, and I know this, there'll be things that'll happen to different people in the United States of America tomorrow that'll be totally unexpected. Other things, of course, most of us make plans, and we know, or at least we think we know, what might take place tomorrow. But there's so much uncertainty about tomorrow and the days following. And if we're honest, there's a lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen even later today. But one thing I do know, and this is a wonderful thing as a Christian, I don't have to worry about those things because I know the person, capital P, the one, capital O. We know someone, capital S. I don't need to keep it a secret any longer. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who is taking care of us and taking care of our todays and tomorrows and next weeks and next year and all that. We know that God has promised that He would be with us and that He would guide us through every day of life that we live here on this earth. These are some wonderful things to consider as we think about our future and what's going to happen. The Bible is reminding us here in these verses in Psalm 37 to trust in Him, to delight ourselves in Him, to commit our way unto Him, to rest in Him, so that verse 23 and verse 24 can also be true. Notice again the verses say this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Several things I'd like to point out from these two verses this morning. First of all, notice please the person described. The person described. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So the person described is here called the good man. Notice that God does not say in these verses that He helps and guides any man or that He helps and guides every man. The Bible says here that He helps and guides the steps of a good man. A good man. Who is this person? Could it be you? Could it be me? Do you want it to be you? And do I want it to be me? Well, I can't answer for you. I can answer for me. I do want this to describe me. I want to be that good man that God is talking about. How is it that this man, who is part of every man, all right, how is it that he becomes a good man? Well, I want to suggest to you, first of all, that he is saved. He knows the Lord as his Savior. Somewhere along the path, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I know when that happened for me. Do you know when that happened for you? By the way, when it happened to me, it made a dramatic change in my life. I am so glad that it did happen, and I'm so glad that it's lasting. It's not something that faded. For me, it's something that kept on getting, not good English, but gooder and gooder. I like being saved. How about you? Amen. I think it's a wonderful place to be, a wonderful state to be in, to be a saved person, a man or a woman who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And my, what a change it's made in our lives. This good man is good because he has been saved. This good man is also good because he is being sanctified. You know, in the time that he's been a Christian or she's been a Christian, and I hope you understand this good man is referring to a human being, okay, a man or a woman, but a member of the human race. This good man has been saved, and in those years that that person's been saved, that person is being sanctified, being changed. And it's just like the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This person is being changed, is being more and more made to be more and more like Jesus Christ. His thinking is changing. His actions are changing. His habits are changing. His lifestyle is changing. That's called being sanctified and being made to be more and more like our Savior. So this man is a good man because he's been saved. He's being sanctified. And this is an important thought also. This good man, because he's been saved, has learned to be submissive. Submissive. And I want to make this very, very clear, and I hope all of you already understand this, but if nothing else, just let it be a reminder. You don't have to do anything that's preached from this pulpit because I said it. But you should try to practice what's preached from this pulpit if God said it.
Amen.
That's called being submissive. Well, I don't know if I want to come back here anymore because all he does is try to tell us how to live. Well, that is part of my task. There's no doubt about that. But hopefully under God's leadership, I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says about how God wants you to live your life. And you don't have to do it because I said it, but you really ought to try to do it because God said it. Again, that's called being submissive. I may not like it. I may not always agree with it. I may not always understand it. I may even, you know, have a little bit of buckling against it once in a while. But man alive, if God said it, that should settle it. I should try my best to be submissive and follow what God says. Well, that describes this good man. The Bible says that here, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That person has been saved. That person, because they've been saved, is being sanctified. And that person, because they're saved, is also trying to be submissive. And as long as that's true of you and true of me, then we are that good man. We are the one that God is trying to lead and guide our steps and show us where to go and, you know, follow his lead. Number one is the person described. Number two, another thing I'd like to point out from these two verses is the purpose revealed. The purpose revealed. Notice the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So here's the purpose revealed, and that is that God wants to guide our steps. He wants to order our steps. He wants to show us where to go. You know, there's a passage in the Psalms that says that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Again, I was describing earlier about we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and we really don't. But we know one who does, and that's God. And if we'll allow him to, he will guide our steps, not just today, but tomorrow also. Tomorrow's Monday. But he'll guide our steps also on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next Sunday, and the next Monday, and so forth. God will guide our steps and order our steps. And I've told you this before, and I don't mind telling you, Sarah and I pray this all the time, and we prayed this again. I don't know if we did yet today, but I know we did yesterday. Lord, if there's ever anything else that you want us to do, we did say this morning in our devotions together at home before we came over here. And we also prayed together here. But Lord, if there's ever anything else that you want me to do, show me. And give me the courage and boldness to follow through with it and do it, whatever that is. Why do you pray that way, Pastor? Because I want to be in God's will. I want to be where he wants me to be. I want to be doing what he wants me to do. Listen, I want him to order my steps. Now, I also said in that prayer, until you tell me otherwise, I'm just going to keep doing what you told me to do back in 2008. Which is to move to Stoughton and take over the Stoughton Baptist Church. So if you don't like it, take it up with my boss. Not sensing a lot of opposition here, but I'm not sure about how much support either. Please notice the smile. But seriously, I want God to order my steps, and hopefully you want God to order your steps also. That's the purpose. What God is talking about here in these verses, the purpose revealed, that God would order our steps. Why? Because he has a plan for our life. He has a plan for our life. For each and every one of God's children, he has a plan. And he wants to order those steps. He wants to order that plan. He wants to work his plan in your life. He will do that if you will allow him to. Now, if you choose not to, that's your choice, but don't blame him when things go wrong. I heard two very disappointing stories yesterday, true stories, okay, after the meeting that we had in Madison for the Access Women's Center. A couple of pastors and I were just visiting with one another, and one pastor shared with me two events that took place recently in their church. One was a couple that used to be in their church years ago, and one was a couple that I think is still connected with their church a little bit. But anyway, In both these two situations, separate families, separate, you know, one in another state, used to be a part of their church, but now is in this state. And two totally different families, different situations. One, it was the woman in the couple. One was a man in the couple. But both of these situations, and it breaks my heart to hear this, but both of these situations, as hard as it is to believe, I know these families, by the way. But one was the woman, one was the man, in two different couples. They decided they didn't want anything to do with Christianity anymore. These are adults. These are people that have been in good Bible-believing churches for years and years and years and years and years, but decided, you know what? I don't want anything to do with Christianity anymore. And they walked away from their marriage, and they walked away from their church. And the pastor that was sharing this with me and I and the other pastors that were close by, we all agreed it's because it's the last days. The devil is working overtime. Why would you share that with us, pastor? Because the devil is working overtime. And if you don't walk with God, if I don't walk with God, if we don't stay close to the Lord, that could happen to us. That could happen to most anyone here today, including me. How very important it is for us to remember the admonition of Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Friend, you and I need to do that each and every day. And we need to allow God to order our steps. I can guarantee you, both of those couples, the one that walked away, one was a woman, one was a man, both of those individuals are not allowing God to order their steps because God would not lead them to do that. For whatever reason, they decided, I don't want that anymore. I'm going to go do what I want to do. Well, here's another reason I bring that up. This pastor that told me said I warned him, your life is going to deteriorate from here on forward. Unless you make things right with God, your life is going to deteriorate from this time forward. You cannot be a born-again Christian and walk away from God and not pay a price for that. A terrible price will be paid for that. Not only in that person's life, but maybe even in their family's life. It's so important that especially in these latter days, you and I let God order our steps and stay close to Him and let Him lead and guide, and you and I follow humbly with Him each and every day. Number one, I wanted to point out from these two verses, the person described, that's the good man. Number two, the purpose revealed, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Number three, the third thing I want to point out from this passage is the procedure adopted. The procedure adopted. Notice verse 23 again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Here it is. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The procedure adopted involves steps. Please notice, God said steps, not the whole pathway at once. Not a year at a time, not a month at a time, not a day at a time, not an hour at a time, a step at a time. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This is God's procedure. This is God's method of guiding and directing His children. It doesn't come in years. It doesn't come in months. It doesn't come in weeks. It doesn't come in days. It comes in steps. Think about, again, the passage that I mentioned earlier from the Psalms, that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our steps. God is ordering our steps, and just a little bit at a time. I am told, and I wasn't there, so I don't know that this actually happened or didn't happen, but I was told by someone at one time that there were individuals in the time that the Bible is referring to here where they actually had some kind of a little candle that would be fastened to their feet and just show a light just a little bit ahead on their path. Well, it reminded me of the headlights in our cars, you know. When we leave here, of course, Sarah and I just walk down the sidewalk, but for most all of you, you get in your car and you start your car, and of course, nowadays lights come on automatically, and I'm really liking that. But if they don't, you turn on your headlights, okay? And you all know this already, but your headlights do not show the entire way from church home. If they do, you've got a car that I'd never seen before. No, it doesn't work that way. It only shows like 100 or 150 or 200 feet ahead, whatever it is. It just shows a little bit of the path, right? And you say, well, how do you get home? Are you ready for this? It's so simple. By faith. Huh? By faith. You have headlights that show, again, I don't know how many feet it is exactly, but let's say 100, 150, 200 feet ahead, whatever it is, and you just follow that. As you move forward, it shines light a little bit ahead of you, and you just keep going a little bit of time, and before you know it, you're home. It's by faith. In a similar way, that's what God's talking about here. Allowing Him to order our steps, allowing Him to show us one step at a time what to do. You remember this passage, and I know you do, but when the Apostle Paul, who was Saul when he got saved, right? When God came to him in Acts chapter 9, and God, you know, blinded him for a short time, knocked him off the animal that he was on, and he was on the ground and said, in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now think with me just for a minute. Paul, Saul, at this time Saul, knocked off his horse, blinded, can't see because of the bright light that shone from heaven and the voice that he heard and so forth. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What did God tell him? Just the next step. Did God say anything about three missionary journeys? Not a word. Did God say anything about writing the majority of the New Testament? Not a word. Did God say anything about traveling all around the Asia Minor and starting churches and so forth? Not a word. Did God say anything about all the persecutions he'd have to go through that he wrote down for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? Not a word. What did God say to him? Arise, go into Jerusalem. It'll be told you what you're supposed to do. One step at a time. One step at a time. Friend, that's God's method. That's God's procedure. You say, well, I don't know that I like that. So, that's what God does. I'm sorry, but that's what God does. Just one step at a time. You just have to submit yourself to that. You just have to accept that. You just have to know that's His method. That's His procedure. That's how God works in our life. Rather than God adapting Himself to you, you must adapt yourself to God and how He leads and how He guides. Just trust Him one day at a time. You know, give us this day our daily bread. It's another example. Just a little bit at a time. We're reading, I think it was Brother Tom mentioned in Sunday school today, reading in the book of Exodus. And God working in the lives of the people. And, you know, reading about the manna that came down every day. I laugh at this every time I read this. Because God said, all right, you're going to go out 6 days. In seven, you're going to go out 6 days and you're going to gather up manna for that day. And you don't want to hold any back. You just get enough for that day and eat it up that day. The next day you go out and gather some more. Oh, by the way, when you get to the Sabbath day, there won't be any. So on the day before the Sabbath, you make sure you gather up twice as much, because on the Sabbath day, there won't be any. And don't you know those idiotic, stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-hearted Israelites, some of them, tried gathering up more than enough for one day, and what happened? It bred worms and stank. King James language, all right, that's what it says. And then there were some other stubborn ones who didn't listen to the instructions about the Sabbath day and went out on the Sabbath day and tried to gather some up. Guess what? There was none to be gathered. No kidding. That's what God said. Wouldn't it be better to just follow his instructions? And yet, let's not be too hard on the Israelites, because the person I saw in the mirror this morning does similar things like that all the time. And I say to myself, how dumb can you be? I mean, come on, Mark, you know better. God told you different. You went ahead and did it something stupid anyway, and now you got nobody to blame but you. Now, I know you folks never have anything, conversations like that with yourself, but I have conversations like that with myself. The procedure adopted is God leading us one step at a time. We need to accept that, and we need to adapt to that. Number one is the person described. Number two is the purpose revealed. Number three is the procedure adopted. Number four, I want to point this out from these two verses, the pleasure experienced. Notice the verse again. Verse 23 of Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And he delighteth in his way. Who's delighting in his way? Well, I want to suggest two areas real quick. Number one, God, and number two, you. I believe when God looks down from heaven and sees his children submissive to him, of course saved, being sanctified and being submissive, when God sees that, God gets pleasure from that. I don't know that he ever does this, but in human terms, I just picture him looking over the balconies of heaven and saying, look down there, there's my son Lowell. He's being such a great son. He's following my direction. He's doing exactly what I asked him to do. Man, I'm proud of him. I don't know that God does that. But I believe God draws pleasure from his children when they obey him and when they follow him and when they let him lead and they follow his direction and his leadership each step of the way. I believe God gets pleasure from that. Secondly is us. I believe we draw pleasure from that when we obey the Lord, and there's a sense in which God puts his arms around us and hugs us and says, I'm proud of you, son. You're doing good. I'm proud of you. Somehow you know that on the inside. And God is reinforcing the pleasure that he has in you because you're obeying, and that brings you pleasure or me pleasure. So it's very possible that both are true here when it says, and he delighteth in his way. God experiences pleasure when he looks down upon his children and sees them following submissively his lead, and we derive pleasure from God's pleasure in our heart because we followed his direction for our life. I look back over my life, and maybe you look back over your life sometimes, and sometimes I wonder, did I make the right decision here? Did I make the right decision here? I believe with all my heart I made the right decision, Sarah, when I married you.
Amen.
Oh, I'm so glad she said amen. But I believe I made the right decision by marrying her and staying with her. And I believe she made the right decision by marrying me and staying with me. But I look back over big decisions like that, you know, as far as where I've been and where I've lived and what church I've pastored and so forth. You know, I'll be honest with you, there's times when I've wondered, did I make the right decision in leaving the first church in Appleton? My desire was, by the way, to go there and stay all my life. Every once in a while, I think back to myself, you know, if I'd have stayed there, I would have been the pastor of Appleton Baptist Temple still, and that would have been 44 years this year. Am I right? 45 years. 45 years this year. This is 2026. 45 years I'd have been the pastor there. I can just imagine how tired of me they would be by now. 45 years. Oh, my word. You're talking about walking in the wilderness. I'm sensing that some of you agree with that. But anyway, I have thought that sometimes. You know, I just have, okay? There was one particular church in Valparaiso. We were only there 1 year. Well, I would have stayed longer, but 1 year was all they wanted. And they made that very, very clear. And that was okay. But now here, been here 17 years, and there's whatever. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, okay? We're not going to do a poll today or nothing like that. But until the Lord says it's time to move on, well, I'm just trying to just one day at a time just trust him and let him lead and let him guide. And I remind him often, Lord, I will do my best to follow your leadership and do what you want me to do. So there's times when you look back and you wonder. But I believe in my heart as I pray about this and think about this, I still believe I'm where God wants me to be. I still believe that I'm in his will, and I still believe that if he came back for me today, he'd say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I only say that to say this, all of us should be looking at our life that way. Are you in God's will? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you trying your best to serve him and please him? And is he proud of you? And does he gain pleasure from your obedience? And do you have pleasure in your heart because of that obedience? And again, that's what's described here, the pleasure experienced. I do believe this, if you're in God's will, there is some pleasure involved in that. There is some pleasure involved in that for him and for you and me. Number one was the person described. It's the good man. Number two, the purpose revealed. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Number three, the procedure adopted. Steps. Steps. Number four, the pleasure experienced. And then lastly this morning, number five, the possibility foreseen. Notice the verses again. Verse 23 and 24 of Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Did you notice what verse 24 says? Though he fall. This is the possibility foreseen. I don't know if I like this or not. But God is forecasting that we might fall. God is forecasting that we might make a mistake. God is forecasting that somewhere along the line in our life, we might make a wrong choice or head the wrong direction. The possibility foreseen, though he fall. Now that reminds me of another verse, and I think I mentioned this verse recently in one of the services. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Who? The just man? You're trying to tell me the just man? No, it's not me, it's God. The just man falls seven times and rises up again? No wonder the possibility foreseen is included in here. Though he fall. It should not surprise us when somebody makes a wrong choice. It should not surprise us when somebody veers off course just a little bit. It should not surprise us, even we ourselves, when we along the way make some blunders and some mistakes and find ourselves in a place where we probably shouldn't be. It shouldn't surprise us. Listen, we do this often, don't we, in our adult Sunday school class? It shouldn't surprise us when Israel makes wrong choices or mistakes, or Solomon, the most wise man of all, makes some wrong choices and mistakes. Guess what? It's human nature. It's who we are. It stems all the way back to Adam and Eve, doesn't it? And you put as many greats as are necessary, grandparents. Because when they were given perfect situation, perfect circumstances, perfect dwelling place, perfect one-on-one communion with God each and every day, guess what? They blew it. And they didn't, at that time, have the sin nature yet. Wow. Though he fall, I like what it says next, he shall not be utterly cast down. I've made some blunders. I've made some mistakes. I've made some wrong choices. But I'm glad God didn't cast me away when I did that. He never has turned his back on me, by the way. He never has said to me, you know what? That's the last opportunity you get. I'm done with you. I'm going back to working with someone else. Nope, he never has done that. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Look at this. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know what that means? That means this. God, when you make the wrong choice, a wrong decision, a wrong blunder, or find yourself off on a tangent somewhere that you ought not to be, God will rescue you, dust you off, put you back on the right path, and help you along the way. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. He knows that we're not perfect. He knows that we are weak, prone to make mistakes. Like the songwriter said, you remember this, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It's written down in one of our hymns. I don't know, that hymn describes me pretty well. Prone to wander. God knows all about that. And he knows we're weak, and he knows we're not perfect, and he knows we'll make mistakes. He knows we'll falter. He knows we'll fail. But aren't you glad he's not going to give up on us because of that? He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I don't know about you, that gives me confidence to keep trying, to keep on trying. The steps of a good man, that's the title. Number one was the person described. Number two, the purpose revealed. Number three, the procedure adopted. Number four, the pleasure experienced. And number five, the possibility foreseen. I want to wrap it up this way. Will you allow God to order your steps? Won't you please allow God to order your steps? And just a little bit at a time, allow him to lead you and guide you. And then follow his lead. Oh yeah, there'll be some stumbles along the way. There's no doubt about that. But if you'll allow him to lead your steps, one day you'll look back over your life and you'll know, again, like the songwriter says, God led me all the way. God led me all the way. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. Dear Heavenly Father, such a simple set of verses, such a simple truth, and yet very profound and very necessary for all of us to be reminded to allow you to order our steps each and every day. Help us to do that. We are weak. We are frail. We are prone to wander. So please help us, Lord. Please help us each and every day. Bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.